It is not presumptuous to approach God, though you are a sinner and He is holy. When you come boldly to God the Father through Jesus Christ and His blood shed for you and His righteousness covering you, it's not presumptuous. In fact, it's commanded for all men to repent and to flee to Jesus Christ as Savior, that they may be able to approach the throne of God boldly and find grace, God's grace, and grace and strength to help in time of need. So these hymns that we sing are so sound, so wonderful, and we are to believe that it is God's will to receive sinners who come to Him with the confidence that in our coming, in our approaching to Him, in the name of Christ Jesus, He receives us. Now, please get your Bibles out this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs once again. Proverbs chapter 9. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are Solomon's collection of Proverbs that he taught his son, Rehoboam. And these nine chapters are looked upon as kind of one unit, and then beginning at chapter 10, there are other Proverbs of Solomon and some that were collected by the Proverbs of Solomon collected by Hezekiah's men. We saw last few weeks that we were talking to young men about the four women of Proverbs 1 through 9. Your mother, the foolish woman, wisdom incarnated as a wonderful woman, and your future wife, or your present wife for that matter. We saw that these women are described in those first nine chapters, and how a man should respond to his mother, how he should treat his mother, how he should treat a foolish woman, and avoid such women. How he should honor his wife and rejoice in the wife of his youth, both before marriage and after, keeping his mind and his body pure, reserved only for that wife of his future, that they may join themselves together and experience the oneness that comes from knowing you've dedicated your entire life to one person, to love and to cherish. And also to look to wisdom as this beautiful woman. And Proverbs 9 is an embodiment of this beautiful woman, wisdom, and the blessing she brings to a man. Let's begin reading it. Proverbs 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maidens. She calls from the tops of the heights of the city, "Whoever is naive, let him turn in here." To him who lacks understanding, she says, "Come, eat my food and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would teach us the meaning of your inspired and inerrant words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to make sure that each word was the inerrant truth of God, words to live by, words to die by. And I pray that you would help us to understand these words in verse 6 this morning, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Having brought four messages to young men about four women in the first nine chapters of Proverbs, for the next 2 weeks, I want to bring two messages to you young women about two kinds of men in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Girls, do you know what is a good man? And what is a foolish man? Do you know how to distinguish between a good man and a foolish man? What would you look for? What should you see? What shouldn't you see? Proverbs outlines for you the foolish man. Things you should be looking for so that you can avoid him. Things of a good man that you can admire and trust. This enters into friendship with young men, as well as courtship for marriage. There's a foolish man, there's a good man in Proverbs, and they are very well defined, so much so that it's almost like if you were an artist and were able to gather together the characteristics of a good man and the characteristics of a bad man. By the time the portrait had been formed, you would be able to recognize them in the faces you see. That's why you need to study Proverbs. That's why you need to learn Proverbs. They are the Ten Commandments worked out in a practical way. They are the Proverbs that Jesus Christ himself was like as a good man, the best man. And they are the opportunity for you to instruct your mind how to avoid what is evil and find what is good. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man who was not foolish, but rather a man of Proverbs. He loved God with all his heart, and he loved his neighbor as himself, and he loved women. He treated women with honor as a creation of God, made in God's image. He treated women with respect. He spoke to women all through the Gospels that many of the religious leaders would never have spent a moment's time with, because he had compassion toward their conditions, whether it was illness or sinfulness. And if they were coming to him to learn about him, he received them as he received Mary, who sat at his feet looking up at him as he told her about the kingdom of God. He loved women. He respected women. He treated his mother with honor and respect. He treated foolish women with honor and told them about mercy. He treated good women with honor and enjoyed their company in the presence of other disciples, fellowshipping together, praying together, eating together. Women felt safe around Jesus. They trusted him because they knew that he did not have any designs upon them to misuse them in any way for his own selfish desires, because he had none. He was always thinking about them. The Lord Jesus never married on earth as a man. Do you know why? Anybody know? Because he already had a bride. He came to earth for his betrothed bride, the one God the Father had brought to him and said, "Son, this is the woman for your life." And the Son said, "She is fallen, Father. She is full of sin. But I will go to die for her and redeem her from her sins and make her something she could not make herself. A woman of God." Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might present her to himself in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And so while he was on earth, he treated all other women with respect and purity of mind and body. He was a good man, the kind of man that God wants believing young women to know, to befriend, and to follow, perhaps as a husband one day. Now we wait. We, the bride of Christ who believe in him, wait. Like the bride waited in her home, in the Jewish weddings where the bridegroom would start at his parents' house, and he would walk through the streets with his friends following him and come to the home of the parents of his bride. And there would be shouts and songs all along the way and dancing through the streets as he came. And he would come to the door, and his bride would be waiting on him, and they would then walk together to the place to be joined in marriage and enter into the wedding feast and the wedding party. Now we wait. We wait for our bridegroom to come on the clouds of heaven, to come with love in his heart to a bride unworthy of his love, unworthy of his kindness, to come and to knock on our door and to gather us up with his angels and bring us to his side and sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and begin an eternity of love with our bridegroom. There's another man in the Bible who loved a woman sacrificially like that. He went to her father and asked for her hand in marriage. But her father required something of him. He required that he work 7 years for him and keep himself at a distance from the bridegroom, from the bride, for 7 years before the father would give his daughter to this man. And the Bible records, so Jacob served Laban 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. That's a man. He knows how to honor the parents of his future bride. He knows how to protect her reputation. He knows how to wait till the proper time. And instead of it being a burden, instead of it being too much to ask, 7 years are but a few days in comparison to having such a wonderful bride. Oh, that God would give Christian young men patience and Christian young women patience to wait on such a man, instead of entering quickly and unadvisedly into a relationship without thought of God. Not because it is God's time, but because it's your time. There's so many instructions in the Bible to young men, but especially to young women, as we'll see as well. And what kind of man is a godly man? A man who's a Proverbs man. A man who is willing to do what is best for his bride, willing to wait, willing to do anything so that her reputation would not be tarnished, nor her purity violated before marriage. This is the kind of man in Proverbs. that if a young woman studies, someday there will be a man that stands in front of her that fits the picture. He's worth waiting on, because he will be like Christ. Proverbs 9:6 divides all men into two camps. Forsake your folly, wisdom says to men. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. There's the man of folly, and there's the man who has life and understanding. There's the foolish man. There's the wise man of Proverbs. And this Proverbs assumes, wisdom assumes, God assumes, that men are foolish by nature. Forsake your folly. Men are sinners and self-centered by nature, selfish by nature, and young women must understand that the Bible is true. That we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Before the flood, God looked down upon the earth and looked into the heart of men. And his conclusion was this: that every thought and intent of man's heart, that is apart from God's saving grace, every thought and intent of man's heart is only evil continually. That the intents and motives of men, if they are not for God, they're against God. If they're not for God, they're against you. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it as plain as day. You have heard that he said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say unto you that every man who even looks upon a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery with her already. Forsake your folly, forsake your foolishness, young men, and live. Go to the Son of God. Go to the cleansing of sin. Go to the Spirit's power to change the way you even think about this world. And women, and young women, understand that if he's not for God, he's against you. And you will feel it one day if you do not trust God's words to guide you more than your feelings. Forsake your folly and live. Christian young women must understand that the Bible says that you can marry only in the Lord. That means another Christian man. A man who has turned from sin and foolishness and self-rule and selfishness and self-interest and always talking about himself to God, who has concerns for the God of heaven, the God of his salvation, the God of his future, and can talk about it with you, pray about it with you. A young man who has gone to the cross of Jesus Christ and plagued, guilty, and condemned with his own sinful thoughts and words and deeds falls at the feet of the Son of God. "Have mercy upon me, O Son of David," he cries. "Have mercy upon me." And out of the voice of love, unconditional, undeserved, he hears, "I will. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." That young man has learned what it means to be loved. Undeservedly, unconditionally, sacrificially. And he knows by experience at the feet of Jesus Christ, in love with his Savior, how to love you. Unconditionally, undeservedly, sacrificially. And that's the only way that kind of love can be learned, young women. Only way. You must wait. You must wait for a Proverbs man to enter your life before giving your heart to any man. Now, I can almost hear some young women's minds saying, oh yeah? Well, show me one. Well, I don't have to show you one because God has promised He will show you one if you wait. Because Jesus Christ is building His church today. There is not one of His young men in whose hearts He works that does not change and become godly young men. Not one. And you may have trouble looking around and saying, well, I don't see a young man like you're talking about or going to talk about. So I just need to settle. Maybe you don't see a godly young man where you are, in Clinton or Baton Rouge, or no one in your life that you can say, that's the kind of man that reminds me of Jesus Christ, whom I can trust and I want to give my life to. You may not see such a man, but you see, you're so parochial in your vision. God views the world, and He works in each person's life in the world. And He knows how to bring a godly young man and a godly young woman together in His timing, in His place. I'll tell you one thing. You won't find such young men in bars and lounges and the party scene because their mind is set on something else besides Jesus Christ. You find them in places like church, places where the Bible is studied, on a college campus or a meeting. You find them at conferences like Building the Church Conference, youth camps, and Christian conferences where people come to hear the word of our Savior preached. You find them by God's providence where a friend knows a friend, knows a friend, knows a parent, knows a friend, knows a parent, knows a friend. And somehow, in God's sovereignty, you get to know each other. You know the rule of six, don't you? Is it six, Mitch? Is that right? That you know someone who knows 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 everyone in the world. There are only six spaces between you and knowing the most unknown person in the middle of China. That's considered a working rule in the social realm of the world today, even in business. And it's true. God knows how to bring six spaces between this guy over here that you don't even know his name and you're sitting over here. It's only six steps to bring him into your life. You can't wait six steps. You see, God knows how to get His people together. He is building His church right on time. He is saving every one of His sheep right on time. And He knows how to bring them across each other's paths because they walk in the same paths. Yes, there are good men today. Good young men today. Proverbs men. Please do not settle on a young man who has the form of godliness but lacks the power thereof. He might go to church, but he doesn't know how to talk about Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of his heart and life, so that he can teach you about the great love of Christ and help you grow as a Christian. Oh, man. I know so many young women that have settled, and they have told me privately that they regret it. but now it's too late. If you wish to be guided by God, you have to be guided not by your feelings or even the advice of your friends, but by this word of God that is infallible, inerrant, that God has revealed to us so graciously to save us from ourselves and our ignorance. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has prepared a feast, and she calls out to all to come in and eat at her table. And she says that there are two kinds of people and two kinds of men. Forsake folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. And young friends, young ladies, who we pray for and love so dearly, it's much better to know a young man of understanding than a man of folly and foolishness. Now, there are several characteristics that I've drawn out this morning from Proverbs to mention to the young women of a good man. Next week, I've got the bad man coming. I tried to decide which one to go first, and I decided, you know, what I want to do is like preparing you to be a bank teller. You know how bank tellers are taught how to find counterfeit money? They are given a big stack of real money. It's accounted. They count it. I don't know if they do that, but they count it and count it. And they learn the feel and the look and the texture of real money. And then somewhere down the road, after they've done that a few thousand times, they sneak in there, a counterfeit looks just like the other money. And they're counting their money, they're counting their money. It's become boring. They know how the money feels. Oop, what's that? You see, they can recognize the false by learning the true. And that's the way God does. He calls on you to love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, and to walk in the ways of God so that you can recognize a bad man when he crosses your path. He's not like that. Something's wrong. Mighty good looking, a little twisted somehow. He's not right. But you have to walk in the good ways. You have to learn God's ways to recognize the foolish man. The seven characteristics that I want to mention quickly this morning, and I never do anything quickly, but I promise I'll rush, is, first of all, a Proverbs man loves God more than you. If he doesn't love God more than you, he's not a Proverbs man. He is not a godly man. And I would go so far as to say he's probably not a Christian at all. For he's made you an idol in his life that he worships more than God. The mark of a Christian is that he or she loves God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Psalm 25:12 says, "Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in his way, in the way he should choose." Don't you want a man that knows how to understand God's wisdom and make the right choices in your life? Especially when you marry, you are called to be subject to him as in the Lord. You want a man that's looking to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Solomon said to his son. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, son. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. Don't you want a young man like that? Who trusts in God, who's looking at God's word to guide him in what he should choose, and he has the protection and the provision of God to make the right choices in his life about you and for you and with you. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. What kind of man is this? Does he love God? A wise man and a future husband fears the Lord, loves the Lord, and seeks to trust the Lord in his life. He does more than go to church. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. God is his Father. And he's concerned about being obedient to God by the strength of God's Spirit. This is basic Christianity. This is not second step, higher life stuff. Who is a Christian? A man who has believed in Christ and loves him for his salvation, who is thankful that God is now his Father and is seeking to walk in the strength of God's Spirit in obedience to God. That's what a Christian is. If he's not doing that, he's not a Christian. No matter what smooth words he uses and how much he justifies why he's not being faithful to God, faithful to the church, honoring his parents, he's trying to entwine your emotions and sympathies into agreeing with his sinful life rather than saying to you, you know, you need to honor your parents. You need to be faithful to your church. You need to live in a way that loves Christ and obeys him. We are so confused by the media and by the influences that come in on the outside and the magazines. You think I don't know about women's magazines? You don't even have to buy them. You just look on the cover. I'm not saying all women's magazines are bad. Do not misunderstand. But the magazines that are showing young women, you know, what kind of guy should you look for? How should you dress to get his attention? What are the things? Where can you go? What can you do to get his attention? It's so self-absorbing, and it's demeaning to women because it assumes that the only thing you're good for is an object of another man's desires instead of a person made in the image of God that stands on her own feet before God and man. Does he read God's word? Does he love God more than you? Does he love God more than his own desires? Does he know enough about God to teach you about God? Does he pursue God more than he pursues you? Will he make future decisions for your marriage and for your children, the children of your womb, by seeking God's will in your life and his life and your child's life? A Proverbs man seeks to love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is not perfect. He's got plenty of faults, plenty of weaknesses. In many things we all stumble. But he wants to love the Lord perfectly. He seeks to live that way. And it grieves him when he doesn't. And his concern is more for your soul than your body. The Proverbs man loves God more than you. And therefore, he's trustworthy to do what is best for you. The second characteristic I've already mentioned is he honors his father and mother. Proverbs 10:1 says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." What is his relationship to his parents? Does he speak lovingly of them, honorably of them? Or is he always criticizing them and saying they're stupid? They just don't know anything. Well, they knew enough to raise him and feed him every day and clothe him every day. They knew enough to pay for his schooling. They knew enough to provide shelter for him. They knew enough to take him to church. It is so foolish. Young men can be so foolish and blind. And I know because I was just like that and worse. A Proverbs man honors his father and mother, even if they're not Christians. Instead of saying they're not Christians, they don't know anything, I don't guess they'll ever be saved. He says, pray for my mom and dad. I love them so much. My heart's desire is that they would be saved. If I could be accursed that they would be saved, I'd do it. Just like Paul said of the Jews. How does he speak of his parents? Does he have any compassion? Does he love them? A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is wise, Proverbs says. Does he make his parents glad, or does he bring them turmoil and rebellion in their life? Does he make them worry where he is at night, what he's doing when he's away? Does he even care? That's a foolish man, an ungodly man, no matter what church he goes to, no matter what he confesses with his mouth. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and that includes honoring your father and mother. And he will also honor your father and mother. Does he listen to his parents' advice? Does he speak to them respectfully? If you happen to visit in his home, how does he interact with his dad and his mom? What tone of voice does he use? What choice of words does he use? Does he listen to them, or is he always telling them? If he does not honor his parents in his God-given place as a son, what makes you think he'll honor you in his God-given place as a husband? If he's not honoring God in the place God's given him, he's not going to honor you in the place that you want him to have. God is very simple about this. And third, he loves others more than himself. Proverbs 19:22. Turn there with me. I want everybody to see this verse if you have your Bible with you. I'm not sure of the translation you have. There's this word here that is Hebrew word that is translated differently in our English Bibles. Same ideas, just synonyms. I'm not sure which synonym you have. Sometimes in verse 22 of 19, it's loyalty. Sometimes it's mercy. But in my translation, it's kindness. Young women, listen to me. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. His kindness. It's better to be a poor man than a liar. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. He is more concerned for others than himself. God is kind. He's more concerned for others than himself. The Lord is slow to anger, Numbers 14:18, and abundant in kindness. It's translated loving kindness or mercy in some of our Bibles. Same word. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Does this man forgive a sin of others, or does he hold grudges? Is he always complaining about how people act, or is he more concerned about he acts for God, how he acts before God? Is he kind? Is he thinking of others? Psalm 25:10 says, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. God is kind, and he does good. And that kindness of God is best displayed in the coming of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son he gave for rebels to make them sons and daughters of God. The measure of kindness is the measure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at the cross. See the kindness of God incarnate. See the kindness of God as it drips to the ground. And understand what love is in this heart of a God who is so kind, so good, so concerned and full of compassion with the danger and the needs of others that he'll not even spare his only begotten son to die for people he wants to adopt as sons and daughters. Look at the life of Christ, how kind he was to the sick and the lame, how patient he was with the arrogant. Even when his disciples betrayed him, even when the people who crucified him were looking up at him upon the tree, one of his last words was this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Does he have that kind of a heart to forgive you of your faults and others of their faults? And he's more concerned with him being a godly man and how he loves others instead of how they love him. Do you not see the division here between a foolish man and a good man? Kindness is a characteristic of God. A man with kindness has compassion on others. He feels for their sorrows. He sympathizes with their troubles. And not only that, he shows it. Does he show it? Seeks to do kind things for others that are in trouble. Seeks to do kind things for others that are in sorrow. Seeks to help others that are struggling. Use up his valuable time to help others who have needs. Or does he just, you know, go to school or maybe go to work, come home, eat, play with his car, go out and do his thing, comes back, goes to church, goes through the same thing the next week. He hadn't even thought in his head about how others around him are doing, what his dad is going through at work, how his mom is feeling in her health, what his brothers and sisters are involved with, and how his friends at school need Jesus Christ as Lord, and it makes him pray for them, speak to them. Does he even care for others or just himself? A good man, a kind man, is not perfect, but he wants to be kind. And he seeks to be. To you, to his parents, even to his enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed him, Paul said. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Do something to relieve his sorrow. Have compassion. Have sympathy. Can you take the eternal forgiveness and mercies of God and just selfishly hoard them, instead of showing that same tender mercy and grace toward others that Christ has given you? Something's wrong there. Well, I'm going to rush on. He loves God's word. He loves the truth, fourthly. How can a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119:9. By keeping it according to your word. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, but a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Proverbs 28:7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. Does this young man love God's word? Does he read the Bible, faithfully serve in his church, pray with you and for you? He knows enough to teach you about God instead of you always trying to get him to believe what you believe. A Proverbs man loves God's word. He hates sin, fifthly, and loves righteousness. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And in whatsoever he does, he prospers. He loves God's word. Loves it. Reads it, studies it, wants to share it with you, to bless you. Six, he treats others with respect. I think I missed one here. He hates sin, obviously. But six, he treats others with respect. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. He who restrains his words, he treats others with respect now. He treats older women as mothers, older men as fathers, younger women as sisters instead of objects, and younger men as brothers instead of enemies. He who restrains his words has knowledge, Proverbs 17:27. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. He doesn't have flashes of anger, outbursts of temper, or he drifts away in a corner and pouts till he manipulates your feelings enough to come to him and give him his comfort that he wants. Oh, such a self-absorbed young man. But a young man who cares for others more than himself and treats others with respect is a rare jewel. He is someone who will treat you with honor and respect if he treats others in their places with respect. He's worth waiting on. He's worth a year. He's worth 2 years. He's worth 3 years. You know what? He's worth 7 years into adulthood waiting on. In fact, he's worth waiting on till God says, now's the time. And in the meantime, you living your life for Christ, making a difference in this world and serving the Lord. He treats all women with honor. His mother, his sisters, his classmates, the women at work. Well, how does he treat them? How does he talk about them? What does he say to them? Does he treat the older women as mothers? Does he say, yes, ma'am? Does he open the door for them and make sure that they're comfortable first? Does he open the door for you? Does he show you respect and honor? Does he care for you and make sure you're comfortable and your desires are considered? Is he like Jesus Christ, who considered others' needs as more important than his own? See, that's a godly man. It's the man to look for. The man to learn, so you can tell the foolish one when he comes along next week. Young men, be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will not be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about other Christians, us. Is he a testimony? Because if he's not a testimony before marriage, he can't be a comfort to you after marriage with these words of Peter. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Does he show honor? Does he treat you with respect? Does he respect your conscience and your reputation and make sure it's protected? Does he think ahead of time in what is best for you? Or is he always thinking about what's best for him? Does he listen to your ideas and opinions? Or is he always right? Does he consider you before himself? This is a Proverbs man. This is a man that's like Christ. And yes, they do live in this world. God can change men. But you don't marry someone to change them. You marry them because they have proven what they are already. This morning I focused on the good man of Proverbs. God is able to raise, if he is able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, he is able, young ladies, young women, young Christian women, he is able to provide for you a godly man in your life as a husband and a father of your children. And until that time comes, wait upon the Lord. Live for Christ where you are. And get this big question off of your mind that you've got to do it and find it and manipulate to get it. And live in peace, knowing that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to the called according to his purpose. He will help you. He will provide for you in his time. And young men, are you seeking to be such a man who is worthy to be called a Christian young man, worthy to be a young man, a young woman with all of her fears and concerns for the future, and the vulnerable position she's into to be a wife one day with your leadership? Are you becoming a man who can be trusted, a man who keeps his word, a man who's more concerned for God and for her than for himself? There's only one solution for both. Come to Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead. Go to him. Repent of your sinfulness and self-rule and the false approaches you've had. Repent of false thoughts and evil intentions of your sin. Repent of evil thoughts about a man or a woman. Go to Christ. And look at him crucified upon the tree, so portrayed in the scripture like it's a portrait for us to see with our own eyes, nailed to the tree, crying out to his Father as our sins were labored upon him and laid upon him, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer is because God is kind. He is so kind to bring kindness to sinners and mercy and forgiveness and eternal life and blessing in this life, that he is willing to purchase that kindness with the blood of his own son. You can trust that God to be kind. And you can, you young men can trust that kind of Savior to teach you how to be a real man. A man who knows how to love God and others instead of himself. Flee to Christ. Find his blessings according to his word. Be a good man. Wait for a good man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, for the words of Scripture, the Proverbs that describe the foolish man and the good man. We especially thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who stands out as the best man. The man with grace and mercy and kindness and forgiveness and compassion and self-denial and sacrifice for us. Help us to look to him so we'll learn what a good man on earth looks like when he crosses our path.